Now let's continue our teaching. We'll continue from the book of Genesis, the one we have been reading, Genesis chapter 26. Let's quickly read that one, the book of Genesis chapter 26. I hope you have been following. We have been explaining the fact that we are blessed. And if you are blessed, please give me a small amen there.
Amen.
All right. And your blessing, the Bible says that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We need to emphasize this. Jesus said something to us. He said, "Do not lay up your treasure on the earth, where moths destroy and thieves do break in and steal." He said, "Sell all that you have," was telling his disciples, "and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." There is a concept called treasure in heaven. It is possible to be blessed, and the blessing, in fact, not just is possible, the way it is with Christians is that their blessings are stored in heaven. And when we say blessing is stored in heaven, I want you to understand that it's a tangible thing. It's not an imaginary thing. It's not let me feel good with myself thing. It is a matter of reality that blessings are stored in heaven. I know I said the other day that when Jesus said that the children of this age, they are wiser in the time in things of their own generation than the children of light. What he was saying is that you see the way people who don't have hope in God pursue aggressively saving up for their future. You read how to have your retirement saving plan. They tell you, Americans tell you about 401k. They plan their future. A man has a child today. He's beginning already. That is, the family, they have a son delivered today. The boy is just 0 days old. Do you understand? And they're already beginning to plan for how they have money to send him to university in 20 years' time. Okay? And how do they do it? They begin to put money aside. The people are working, they earn a certain amount of money every month. After paying their taxes and stuff like that, they keep a certain amount aside for what they call college education. They start saving up towards it. They are laying up the treasure on this earth. Now, because the only thing they have is the hope in this life, the only thing they have is that human reasoning, the ability to plan, they go after it aggressively. Every month, they don't miss putting in something into that, hoping that to be invested in the stock market and to be safe, safe, that's what they call it now, all those very safe funds and stuff like that, low-risk investments. So that when that boy becomes 20 years of age, when he's in his late teens, he can enter into Harvard and they won't have to sweat too much. He can enter into MIT, they won't sweat too much. Why are they going through all of this? All right? Because this is the only hope that they have. My emphasis is that they are very diligent. They are very diligent in it. And that's the way of the world. And let's not mince words about it. It is the way of the world. Jesus said it straight. Do not lay out treasure on the earth. Now, I'm going somewhere. He said, you see the way the people of the world are very diligent in the things that have to do with their generation. He said, the children of light, they don't do that. What was he saying? Instead, now, this true Christianity is very radical. Very, very radical. Very, very radical. What was he saying? He's saying that if your son is going to go to school in 15 years, 20 years' time, don't worry about it. If I say this, you'll surprise some people. He said, don't put a dollar aside for it. He said, if you must put your money aside, put it in heaven. Now, this is where I'm going. For the believer, it is real. It is tangible. It's not imaginary. He said, you see, the aggression with which that fellow is putting money aside inside the college fund for his child, you use that same aggression to help the poor today. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Take out of your money on a regular basis and help the poor. Go to a primary school. Listen to me. Not primarily because of your child, but it must be a principle of your life. Go to a primary school and say, listen, let's donate desks to people. Say to them, you don't have desks in this school. Why do I have to wait for Americans to be raising money to come and give desks in a Nigerian primary school? Let us do it ourselves. You go there, donate desks, do it on a regular basis. Go to a university and say to your fellowship, maybe you know people there, if there's anybody here that don't have clothes, tell them not to worry. I can put some things aside on a regular basis for their handouts, for their clothing. So about my children's schools, their school in the future, he said, don't put money aside because as a law, moths will destroy. What is moths? Inflation will catch up. One Bernard Madoff is going to get up one day and steal all the money. I said to you, Christianity is very radical. And Christianity says, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I wanted to bring out an issue, all right? The fact that spiritual things are real. So Jesus said, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And when he said that, he said, do not be afraid, little children. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What he was saying is that there is a cause for fear when you see the demands that Christianity will make on you. Following Christ Jesus will make certain demands. He was saying to them simply, don't worry about tomorrow. Whatever you have today, don't hold on to it tight. Give it out. Be free with it. So I was saying earlier, what should I do for my children's future? I should say to the earth, that is to the world, to the devils around, I should say to the angels, and most importantly, say to God, my trust is in God. So what do I do with the money I've laid up concerning my own children? It's simple. I just go and help other people's children today who don't have anything. And that's what Christianity is. If you go and check it, Jesus was very emphatic about helping people. Was very emphatic about it. I told you my testimony before. When I was going to get married, and many of you have done things like that. This is Africa. Wedding can be quite expensive, you know. If you are Americans, no, it's not difficult. Yes, okay, look. Nothing. Let's just go to registry. Tell your father. Let's be nice Christians. Tell your father. Just go there, do one or two things and go away. But Africa, it costs money. Now, so this, I told you then. So when I was getting married too, I was spending money. And this was the time when, as residents, now pay was really, really poor. I mean, by every standard. I mean, we're any like equivalent of like, it was good that time, $100 a month. That's how it was. Okay, maybe by 150. That was like, if you calculate it to dollars that time, $150, $200, I was a senior registrar. That was about all my salary. You know, that is, you convert it today. So you know what I'm talking about. It was about $200 in a month. That's, you're being generous with your conversion. So we had to, preparing for the wedding, every little cobble we had, you know, went towards the wedding. You know, everything. Then one day I was sharing the word of God. And I said that Paul was writing to Timothy, saying, instruct them that are rich in this world not to put their hope on the uncertainty of riches. He said, let them put their hope in God. He now said, this is how you know a man, a woman whose hope is not on the uncertainty of riches. The fellow is generous. He said, instruct them to be generous. In summary, then as I was finished sharing that word, I realized that I was talking to myself. I said, is that so? Is that so? What have I been doing? I've been putting my hope on the uncertainty of money that I did not even have. You know, if you have plenty, self, sure you can understand that it's a temptation. This was just pure foolishness. If you have plenty, it's temptation. When you don't have, it's foolishness. I was operating a combination of foolishness and temptation. I don't even know which one was my portion. As soon as that word came, I said, oh, is that what was happening? All right. And I told you before, that was the first time in my life I understood the meaning of the word worry. Worry is not, hey, I don't die. I'm dead. Oh, please, somebody rescue me. That one is called tantrum. That is not worry. A man that's worried can just, you won't know, he won't see anything. Just going on. Fred, how far? Man, I'm fine. We thank God. But Fred is not fine. He's not fine. What was my own manifestation? Before then, sleeping was never a problem. That is, sleep normally gets to the bed before me. If I'm planning to sleep at 11 o'clock, sleep goes to lie down by 10:50. I say, Pastor, are you not coming? Before I hear that, the spirit of sleep has taken me over. This one, I will lie down and be waiting. I'll be waiting. Literally, I'll wait 2 hours to fall asleep. Sometimes up to 3 hours trying to fall asleep. And this happened for some days, maybe over 2 weeks or so. I can't remember the exact number of days, but some time. Then one day, I was about to fall asleep. I just said, this is what they call worry. I said, Jesus. So I've been worrying, I did not know. What was worrying? It's simple. He said, take no thought for the morrow. You start calculating how your life will be. And that's what I was doing. Okay, if I'm able to do this, at least I will spend hours calculating. There is a time for everything. This was a time for sleep. I allocated it to calculation, to mathematics. The time for sleep. That was when I realized I was worrying. And how I need to was worrying. It took the sleep away. He said, maybe it's not worry, you're just thinking. Listen, my friend, normal thinking can't take sleep away. If I tell you, okay, when you get home now, think about how we'll move this ministry forward. You'll fall asleep after 5 minutes. Once you hit the bed, you'll fall asleep. If your classmates make you a chairman of one committee, that let's plan this, even though you are thinking about it, you still fall asleep. That one is not worry. That is thinking. This one, it took sleep away. That day I repented of it. And my sleep returned. This other one I was telling you about, the same season that the Lord just helped me. And what it was in effect, that you are putting your hope on the uncertainty of riches that you don't even have. The very next day, I said, let's rearrange this thing. I took some money, not much. I mean, it wasn't plenty. I went to church on the following Sunday. Pastor finished preaching. I said, sir, that was good word. I gave him an envelope. He didn't understand that this man was doing penance for his sins. It wasn't just offering to man of God. It was like, I'm repenting of my sins. What is the sin? The sin of putting my hope on the uncertainty of riches. A friend of mine was wedding a week before me. Of course, I knew it was in the kind of boat I was in. I don't know how the kind of storm his boat was on, but at least the same kind of boat. He wedded a week before I did. So I took some money in the envelope and just said, oh boy, you're spending money. Here is something to help you. I'm sure the guy wanted me. This boy hit jackpot. This boy must have hit jackpot. Where did he get it from? No. He didn't. What happened was simple. He said, I rejoice at thy word. Like those who find great spoil or great treasure. I actually found money. It's just that it was the word of God that was revealed to me. That was what I did. Shared out the money until the money was not remaining again. And I went back to the normal flow. Say money day, not day. Let's just be doing it one day at a time. And listen, and God solved the problem with his wisdom. Now let me just stop there. Why I give that illustration is talking about not laying up treasure for tomorrow. Jesus said that the children of God, the children of the kingdom, they have a principle that works for them. But the problem is that they are not as diligent in applying their principles as those of the world are diligent in applying theirs. So a man who is not born again, he's not a believer, he's in government circles. As long as you put him in office, do you understand? Or maybe he's a civil servant. As long as you put him in an office where he has power, instantly starts structuring things. And the master is commending that guy is wise. I don't know what I got to say. That this is the only thing he has. But those who are children of God, they don't use those principles. But the one you give them now, they won't use. They are not aggressively putting treasure into heaven. And let me tell you something about Christianity. About life. You have to enter something and enter it fully. Yoruba man says it like this. How do I say this in English? It's hard. These African proverbs, it's difficult to put in English. But just in case somebody who speaks Yoruba will hear this message. He says, pata pata la afoju, kuno kuno la adete, oju afoye foton e jani dale. Let me tell you what it means. You know, Jesus laid hands on a man. He was blind. After a while, he said, what do you see? See, I see men as trees. That's what Yoruba man calls the blindness that's not complete. That it causes quarrel. That if a man wants to be blind, please do it completely. Stop giving witness to things you only saw partially. You get what I'm saying? Because we think you are seeing and say, come and give witness. Say, yes, I saw him. He's the one that did it. Meanwhile, you are not seeing well. So the proverb goes like this. That if a man wants to go blind, please do it completely. So let's know you are blind. So I won't be calling you. You get what I'm saying? That this half blindness only leads to disagreement. That's the proverb. And Jesus said like this, because you are neither hot nor cold. That is, if you want to do this thing, do it fully. I dare to say the major problem with Christianity is that people don't follow it completely. People try to be safe. Let's talk about my children's future. We want to use prayer. Are you getting my point? We'll be using prayer and praying and praying. At the same time, we said, man, let's just be sure. So as not to take chances. There are things, listen, I have to preach the truth completely. So it will offend a few people, but you know, we have to say it because it's true. You understand? That's why I say to people, you can have your children anywhere. You understand my point? If you like, you want to go and have children, you go to Malawi. It's good. Angola, it's beautiful. Ghana, fine. Mali, if you like it. Egypt, UK, America, as you like it. But listen to this as a Christian. A statement you must never make is, I want to have my children in America to give them a chance in life. That is unbelief of the highest order. Once you do that, you have negated the power in the laying on of hands on their head. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ah, you're not hearing it. You are afraid. It looks like I've shot some serious bullets. Like I told you, if it is that, yes, I want to see what American nurses look like, is the will of God. Let me even see how it is to have gas on your face when you are pushing. Let it not cross your mind. Did you hear what I said? Let it not cross your mind that you are offering your children a better tomorrow by virtue of the place where they are born. It's unbelief. What did I call it?
Unbelief.
What did I call it?
Unbelief.
I was saying to my wife that we were talking at home. In fact, I was gisting with her. She just grabbed her phone and began to. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm writing what you said. I said, truth is like this. When God opens your eye to a new level of truth, if you refuse to step into it, you are walking in sin persistently from that day. I don't know what I heard. I said, if you don't know it is different, but the day he opens your eyes and you see that this is truth, every day you refuse to walk in it is called walking in iniquity. The problem, like I said to you, is that Christians don't follow the word of God completely. They want to play it safe. You can't play this thing safe and expect power from it. You can't. You can't, too. You can't. Why did I go into this? I was trying to explain that when you say something is in heaven, it's real. It's not a joke. If you cannot believe today that your treasure is in heaven, then don't believe. You are not sure that you will die and go there because you don't believe the place exists. Men are more afraid of hellfire. They are sure of that one. Than of heaven, than their desire for heaven. Because if indeed you believe that there is a heaven, that there is a throne of God there, and that is actually your home as a believer in Christ Jesus, then don't be afraid to put your treasure up there. Because it is real. They came to Jesus, and he said to them, sell all you have, give to the poor. Don't worry about it. Now, this is what I'm talking about. That the treasure that is in heaven is in a place where moth cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. What does it mean by moth cannot destroy? Let me give you a practical way to explain it again. Remember, they said don't put your money in the bank. Inflation normally will spoil it. And you know, when they talk about that inflation, there's one book I read, One of them is called Creature from Jekyll Island. There are different ones, one of them. But reading all of these books, I realized something. One of the reasons why your money will reduce in value every day is because governments all over the world, they print the paper every day, thereby diluting the one that's already in circulation. Until about 2 months ago, was it last month, to come out of recession, America was printing almost $100 billion monthly, just print paper. You know, we used to laugh at Idi Amin Dada when we were young. And we didn't realize that they all did it. He only did his own to a level that he couldn't manage. They still do it till today. Americans will call it quantitative easing. $85 billion of printed money, no value to back it, nothing. Just print it and release it into the environment. Robert Kiyosaki said they do that because they can't tax you. If you tax you, they will lose election. So they won't tax you, but will collect the money by printing paper. That's why I said in that last 51 things that you should know about money, I said it's a good means of exchange, but a very useless way of storing value. Cash is a very useless way of storing value. It's called moth destroys. So they now say to you, listen to this, that don't leave your money, as cash. Leave it as investments. So the idea is that when you invest in the stock market, as an example, which you and I know is also unreliable, but actually on the long run, it's better than keeping it as cash. That's the point. That if you leave it at least, hopefully it will grow at the pace, all right, to overtake inflation. Hopefully. It doesn't always work. But that's the idea. Now, you now explain the meaning of treasure in heaven. This is how it is. If I keep treasure in heaven, if the real value of the money I kept in heaven is that I can feed 1,000 people for a year with it. All right? If the real value was like that. Now, this is how treasure in heaven is. If I come back in a million years' time, if I say, where is the money I stored in here? No matter the currency you are using at that time, no matter whether you are now using Bitcoin, you know, all this virtual currency, whatever it is that you are using, my money, when they now bring that treasure in heaven down to the earth, it will still be able to feed that 1,000 people for 1 year. That is the meaning of moth did not destroy. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That's how it is. It can't lose value. And this is the most interesting thing about treasure in heaven. That's just a simple way to explain it. But the most interesting thing about it is this. It knows how to adapt to the need at that time. I don't know whether I get the point. It doesn't. You can't say that because, you know, that's why I told you, forget this gospel of when you give money, God will give you money. It's not true. What did I say? It's not true. God is not stupid. God needs to be stupid to do things like that. My son comes to me as an example. Maybe he helps me to wash my car. And tomorrow he's going to school. I want to pay him back. I say, when you buy a car, I'll wash it back for you. No, think about it. When you buy a car, I'll wash it back. He said, that's the even a joke. Stop that. Buy me sneakers. I bet. Which one are you talking about? Who wants to? Do I have a car? By the time I have a car, will you be in a washing condition? Come on. You will have somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's not be silly. My God shall supply what?
All my
needs. Did you notice what? Notice the word? Needs. 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 Not my God shall repay the money I gave him. If I sow naira, I will reap naira. So people have started sowing dollar. I've seen it before. You want to go to church to give offering. First go to bread and change it into dollar. Say, because it's as I sow that I will reap. I know you are stupid, but God is not. Let's just, you know, are you getting my point? You that's doing that, I know you have an inability to reason properly, so we'll excuse you, but your God is not that silly. He knows if you give dollar, if he wants to give you Japanese yen, he can convert. He knows value. You can imagine that maybe Naira is exchanging for 160 to the dollar, and you lent me 160,000 naira. If I now give you $1,000, you say, no, it was naira I gave you. I said, okay, don't worry, when I have naira, I'll give you. No, so. But you don't do like that. You say, okay, where can I quickly change? I can't be spending dollars. Let me have it. You quickly rush over. Even when you want to buy online, this is, they put your naira card. They will put the conversion rate. Don't they have it there? You have not been buying online. Don't worry, when you go home, try it. They will tell you, once they know your location, where I rent to buy from, that guy is a naira spender. You have to deliberately click a button to change it back to US dollars. What am I trying to say? God has sense. What did I say?
God has sense.
He has sense. So, forget it that it's when I give money, I will receive money. No. Those are not spiritual things. Money is not a spiritual thing. It's a conveyor of a spiritual substance. He that shows mercy shall obtain what? Mercy. That's what the Bible says. Not he shall give money. He that gives money. But you can use money to show mercy. And when God wants to show you mercy back, if it is money, he will use money. If it's healing, he will use healing. If it's give him plenty children, he will give him. He knows what to use to show back. Let's not pretend like he does not reason. And that's the beautiful thing about treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven, when it's coming back to you, it knows how you need it. It won't say that it was money you brought here. So it's only money we can give back to you. Actually, what treasure in heaven gives you, the way treasure in heaven is described is called blessing. And the blessing makes rich. The blessing is not riches. But when it comes into a situation, it can bring wealth into the life. The blessing can bring abundance of children. It gives divine protection. That's a blessing. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. That is a blessing. The blessing, it brings every kind of natural blessing you can ever think about. What am I preaching again today? I want you to understand that it is real. I want you to understand that it is what?
Real.
It is real. It's not just we are feeling happy. The amount of, let me put it like this. The amount of credence, yes, that your heart gives to its reality is what determines how much it manifests in your life. The reason why Christians don't experience the power of God is because they are not sure it is there. The Lord said it straight. Don't lay up treasure on the earth. It means you should not. Listen to what I'm saying. When we're talking about laying up treasure, it's not talking about being, you know, I will explain it. There's a difference between being faithful as a steward and laying up treasure on the earth. There's a world of difference. And that's the mistake people make when they don't understand, when they say a man is the richest man in the world, all those kind of richest things. Just remove your mind from all of those things. The other day I was watching that film I told you about, not a documentary, all right, Inside Job. One man said that he's a banker in Iceland. He said it's very funny. They'll tell you one billionaire bought so-and-so for so-and-so millions of dollars. So what they don't tell you is that the man went to your bank, borrowed your money to buy it. He doesn't have the money. Most of the wealth that you calculate is nothing but responsibility that a man is carrying. It's just responsibility being carried by people. So I'm explaining something that there's a difference between being a steward, a good steward, and being one that is laying up treasure on the earth. If you see the story, when the Lord gave them, that's the minas, occupy with this until I come back. One came back and said, your mina has made 10 more. If the master had delayed the same length of time, he would have made 100. You understand what I'm saying? But that guy would have multiplied again 10 times. If he has the opportunity to keep multiplying, that's a good steward. It's a good steward. A man who's laying up treasure on the earth said, when they said, look at your harvest, he said, so rest. You have much good laid in stock. Take your ease. That's one who is laying up treasure on the earth. Please, I'm saying all of this just to bring out some things to our mind again, but my emphasis is the fact that spiritual things are real. They are what? They are real. We are not joking. We are not joking. They are real. They are real. They are real. They are very real. If I say that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, it's not a joke. God gave me a gift long ago. The gift is understanding. I can't remember feeling inferior to anybody in the last 30 years. I can't remember. Maybe it happened before that time. Honestly, listen. If Warren Buffett walks in here now, you know Warren Buffett? I know he's not your personal friend, but you've heard of him. Yes. I would respect his age. He'll be interesting to talk to. Do you get my point? Yeah, I would just see him as a man who has excelled in his own calling. God sees in my heart, the amount of dollar he can spend will not shake me one bit. I will give him the same amount of respect I will give a Nobel Prize winner in physics who's not worth the $100,000. Because he's a man who has excelled in his own field of calling. That's just the way it is. And I'm not joking about that. I'm not joking about that. I am not joking about that. I mean it literally, the way I've told it to you. That's just the way it is. So I want to emphasize that one to us again. Listen, what all these people talk about is about being responsible. And in this life, listen, you are blessed. That here, amen. Listen, I'm not joking about it. You know, I just need to keep saying this so people will know that it is really true. Bible says that you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of people. There is no curse in your life. Amen. You don't sound convinced. Let me prove it to you. Every handwriting that was written against you, he has washed it away by the power of his blood. He has nailed it to his cross. They said there was one powerful witch. Those days he placed a curse upon your family. Tell them it's a lie. What did I call it? Now let's understand what we mean by lies. You know, some people say, hey, Pastor, you haven't seen before. It is you that have not seen. I have seen. I have seen the word of God. I have looked into the heavens, and I'm telling you, every believer in Christ Jesus is free. Amen. I am not saying your cousins who are under that spell are not in trouble. No, they are in trouble. Better one, you see, no, I've told you before, when you want to preach to people, don't say, you are not coming to our church. Tell them the truth. Say, oh boy, can you remember that curse that they said, that which placed over our family, like 85 years ago? Say, yes, it's on your head. So, me, I'm free. People are going. That's why they say we should come for deliverance. I'm not going. You see, you have to deliver those who are in bondage. I'm not in bondage. You won't contribute money? No. If you contribute money for such things, you are acknowledging bondage. And it is to you according to your faith. You said it then simply, oh, but that's what I've been telling you. Give your life to Christ. All those problems will be given over to the cross. And then you will become free. Anytime you hear me talk, I'm talking from the perspective of being a believer. A believer is free. Did I hear an amen?
No,
I don't mean like that. I mean you are free.
Amen.
It's not the generic, you know, like we don't know who you're talking about. It is you, I'm talking about you. You looking at me. I'm talking about you. Say, it's talking about me.
I am free.
I am free.
I am blessed.
I have a blessing in heaven. Now, back to where we started from. So we're talking about heaven. We're not saying, hey, praise the Lord. When I get to heaven, I'm going to stay in a mansion. But on the earth, you stay in a hut. If you like a hut on the earth, it is good. If you don't like it on the earth, please don't say that kind of nonsense that I have a mansion in heaven. When I get there, I will stay in there. Listen, when you know you have a mansion in heaven, you go and download some of it. I don't know what I hear what I'm saying.
Yes,
you get into your hut at night and say, Lord, I just discovered that my house in heaven is a mansion. So we have to download small. Don't download the whole thing, though, because it will be day too expensive to maintain here for now. Just download for me a small bungalow first. Do you get my point? Listen, I started by saying it is real. What did I say?
It is real.
It is real. God will arrange events between you and him. Do you understand? You walk together. Next thing you know, that a portion of your treasure in heaven is brought down to the earth. I said, but I had to explain the fact that, listen, you can keep money in the bank. In the same manner, we can keep blessing in a bank called heaven. And it, you know, when you want, like maybe, you know, you want to pay for, maybe, like now, I got a call from one of our radio stations yesterday, and they're just reminding us of when we're supposed to pay next. I said, okay, no problem. So we wrote a check, and we are giving them the check. They said, okay, they'll pick it up on Monday. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the check is not written by, please, I'm talking about, it's not written by faith. You know, like, we just as we're writing this check, there will be money there. There will be money. As they are going there, hallelujah, God will be sending. No. I am aware that there's money there. If they want money for 10 quarters and we feel like giving it to them, it is there. It's not like, let's join hands, Israel, begin to prophesy from that side. Bishop, take the other corner, and everybody begin to prophesy the money to come. The check was written knowing that EFCC cannot arrest us. I don't know what I get my point. Now, let me ask you a question. Do I have to go to the bank and say, please, let me inspect the strong room. Where's our own portion of the strong room? Where they label Kingdom World Ministries? Let's count whether the money is up to the check we are giving. That is unbelief. I know I'm aware. We have a statement that says it is there. You have a statement that says it is there. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. So, now, why didn't I write them a check for 1 billion naira? Because it doesn't cost 1 billion naira for the next quarter to be on their radio station. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The check was written according to the need of the hour. Even though I have a blessing in heaven. Are you getting my point? It doesn't mean I just wake up in the morning and start drawing recklessly and trying to buy everything that is not okay for our season. No. But I'm saying to you, your treasure in heaven is real. Are you getting my point? It is real. You must be aware of it. Some people will say that, let me see whether I have given enough. Listen to me. It is not based on what you have given. It is based upon what Jesus did. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Are you saying I mustn't give as a Christian? No, I keep on saying I can't say that. I cannot ever say that. Actually, like I was telling my testimony earlier, your refusal to give is what the problem is, not your giving. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It's more of the refusal is a sign of unbelief. And unbelief will never allow the word of God to have effect in your life. every time you refuse to do something that you're supposed to do is because of unbelief. The Bible says they could not enter because of their what? Unbelief.